All right, what's up, everybody? It's me, Insanity, here back for Echo Asylum Radio, and I have the honor and privilege of interviewing the man, Kirk from Crowbar. How's it going today, brother?
Going good, thanks, bro.
How's the bird been treating you on this tour so far?
Good. Now that we're heading further north, you know, it should start getting better.
Oh, yeah.
It just depends, you know, it's hit and miss, but it's been good.
Yeah, man.
Kick ass every night, so that's what we're here for.
Yeah, man. How did the whole tour work out as far as development with getting Unearth and Black Crown Initiate on tour with you guys?
Actually, well, we know the Unearth guys for quite a while, and actually all three bands are on E1.
Yeah.
Same label, so that's kind of how it got put together. Same booking agent, same label.
That's
so
kind of cool. It's kind of a different all metal, but it's kind of a little bit of different groove with everything.
It's better to do when you do packages to have different, you know. I mean, if every band sounds exactly the same, it's kind of pointless.
It's watered down, and people just kind of start getting bored of it, you know.
So you have three completely different bands, which helps out the package for sure.
Definitely. So I heard Black Crown had some travel issues. Their band broke down. How was that? How was it dealing with that as a tour? Did that really make it difficult touring?
I mean, not difficult. It just made it really where, you know, certain nights were going on really early, certain nights they were they didn't know what to do, you know, trying to get extra local bands, things like that to fill in for it. So, I mean, in a perfect world, I would have been able to make it, you know, to the five shows that they unfortunately missed, but it's not a perfect world. So they're here today. We're happy to have them.
Yeah. So, definitely the touring woes sometimes, you know, can't expect to happen.
Shit happens, you know, that's just all it's doing.
Hopefully the fans understand that. So
absolutely.
And let me go ahead and congratulate you guys on that Symmetry in Black. I got to review it. It was an amazing album. I mean, nothing, I would expect nothing less from you guys, because you guys are just have a reputation of being like one of the biggest bands in the world, basically. And how did that whole album come about? Like, when you guys had the concept for it, where were you guys trying to go with the emotion and the feel of the album?
Basically, Crowbar 25 years later. It's like, went back and listened to a lot of, you know, we listened to some of the older stuff and started bringing in a lot of our older influences. Excuse me, I'm old.
I understand, man. I'm
it's almost
busy
time.
Oh, there you go.
But I think we wanted to just take everything that Crowbar's about and throw some new shit in as well. You know, it's kind of like with each record that we do, we bring in a few new elements, because we all listen to so many different styles of music. You know, our listening, you know, choice is so diverse that, you know, we bring in little elements of things that, you know, to try to freshen up each record. We don't want to make the same record over and over again, but we want it to be killer. We want it to be fresh at the same time. It's got to be Crowbar, you know. So we feel really proud of Symmetry in Black, and we think we accomplished, you know, capturing what Crowbar is about. But it's a 20, like I say, it's Crowbar 25 years later. It's more mature. It's, to me, the songwriting is stronger. You know, the hooks in the choruses are better. The vocals are better. The production is amazing. So, you know, we just try to, we don't want to rest on our laurels and be a nostalgia type band and only play our, you know, the older stuff and all. We want to continue to make kick-ass records, everyone that we put out, and, you know, increase our fan base. I mean, it's amazing how many, I had a guy the other day that was like, man, I'm only, you know, kind of a young guy. He's like, I've only heard of your band for like the last 2 years.
Wow.
And I said, man, I love to hear that. That's what we're doing this for. We're not, you know, we're not just trying to preach to the choir. You know, it's like, we want to bring new fans as well. You know, we want Unearth fans and Black Crowns fans to come see Crowbar. They might not be a fan, but when they leave, we want them to be a fan.
I could imagine your live show. I'm really looking forward to seeing guys perform. I guess night in and night out as these tours go on. I mean, does it get harder to put all the energy out there? Is it just something where, because you love it so much, you got such a passion?
No, I think it's one of them things. You know, when it's time, it's time, and we're always 100% ready. I mean, regardless if we're, you know, not feeling well or tired or burned out or whatever it might be, it's no excuse. It's like a you know, I approach it like a football game. I mean, you need to be mentally prepared. You know, you might not be physically 100%, but, you know, because it is very hard touring, and we don't take days off.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're doing 15 shows in 15 cities and 15 nights.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, it is taxing on your body, but what you do is get as much rest as possible, and, you know, you take your vitamins.
Oh yeah, definitely. You gotta take those as you get older. We get older and all our bones and achy and shit.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So for the new album, was it you know, with all the changes in the genres and what's popular in music and as far as metal, I mean, there's a lot of these sub genres.
Oh yeah.
Did you guys find it, I mean, difficult to say balance between, like you said, the older stuff, but was it define elements of newer metal to throw in there, or was it something you guys like experimented on and found something that worked?
No, we just, I mean, I haven't been inspired by anything newer than the first Typo Negative record, Slow Deep and Hard. So that's what it was, like in 1990 or something, I think, or 91. Yeah. So that was, you know, actually, we listened to a lot of Typo during the writing process of this for some reason. And not that it shows necessarily, but that was just one of the things I had listened to them as much, you know, in the last few years, and then for some reason that seemed to be one of the things, you know, one of the things we were listening to a lot if we were out at a bar or whatever. We play Typo every night. But no, I mean, we don't follow the genre. I mean, and I'm not being arrogant. It's just, I don't really keep up. I can't tell you who sounds like what genres, what. I just don't know. I mean, I still listen to Thin Lizzy and Saxon.
Oh yeah, I noticed a tattoo, actually, a Thin Lizzy tattoo. I noticed that. That's pretty badass.
You know, I mean, when we're at the bar, we play Rainbow, Deep Purple, Saxon, Motorhead, Thin Lizzy.
The good shit, man. The good shit.
MSG, you know, Michael Schenker Group, Scorpions, you know, Dio and King Diamond and whatever, you know. So we're definitely, to me, the whole genre and subgenre thing is just crazy.
It is crazy.
If you ask me what Crowbar is, we're heavy music.
Yeah.
We're not sludge, we're not doomcore, we're not whatever. We're Crowbar, you know.
I was actually going to ask you a question about the sludge, because I know that, you know, you guys have your roots, you know, part of the quote-unquote New Orleans sludge metal movement. I mean, you guys basically created, I guess unintentionally, you created a whole subgenre, not really a subgenre, but a whole buzz and a whole revolutionary type. I mean, how does it feel for you guys looking back 25 years later and saying, man, look at bands like Down and Acid Bath, bands like that. I mean, what does it feel, how does it feel for you personally to know that you've influenced a whole kind of revolution in music?
I mean, proud of course, you know. I think, I mean, the thing is, and it's a weird thing, and everybody from all the bands in New Orleans, you know, if you take Crowbar and Down and I Hate God and Goat Horn and Acid Bath and Stolen Green, I mean, that's your main ones. Mm-hmm. It's weird because nobody sounds like, none of the bands sound alike, but they all have something, some element that that none of us really can put our finger on. We can't describe, we always joke it's just something in the water.
Yeah.
It's like, and you know, to me, a lot of it is probably subconsciously being influenced by the New Orleans sound and the whole vibe of it. I mean, you grow up listening on the radio, you know, I mean, like when my mom and dad would play records, a lot of the shit was New Orleans stuff. It was Dr. John, Fats Domino, and shit that they grew up on. And then from their era, but there were so many popular New Orleans bands back in, you know, in those days. And, you know, it's like, I mean, in my opinion, the best drummers are from New Orleans. As far as laying down a groove and giving a beat, you know, other than John Bonham, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not talking about technical shit. I'm talking about keeping a beat, playing behind a beat, playing funk, you know. I mean, when you see, you know, guys like Mean Willie Green from the Neville Brothers, and, you know, for, you know, like Stan Moore and shit, you know, when you see him, you know, doing the funk stuff about behind the beat groove stuff, it's just like, that's New Orleans, you know, so we kind of have an element to that in the groove of our music. You know, we're not, a lot of the more technical bands are, to me, are it's tight as fuck, and this is no disrespect at all, but it's missing a groove. There is no groove. It's perfect, you know. It's mechanical, and that's just, you know, that's great, but that's just not what we're going for. You know, we want it to be organic, and we want it to be tight as fuck, but we want it to groove. We want like the tempo of the song. Like I call it shifting gears. We like to shift gears. Well, if we're playing a faster part, we go into a slow part. If you put a metronome to it, we're probably way behind the metronome when we go slow. That's awesome. We downshift.
That's what I love about your music, man. That's what I love about it.
So it actually moves back and forth, you know. And it's the same thing with most of the New Orleans bands, you know, of our genre, so to speak. But I think, like, you know, it's weird. Like, the sludge thing, everybody calls it sludge, whatever. We didn't make that up. The press did. You know, same thing with the doomcore thing and whatever. Yeah. And, you know, like, Mike Nine from I Hate God said, he goes, I don't like, you know, what they call I Hate God sludge. He goes, to me, it's just rock and roll.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I don't think Crowbar is necessarily a rock and roll band, but we're just heavy music.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm inspired and influenced by rock and roll bands because that's what I grew up on when I was a kid. I mean, you know, even Sabbath, who were probably, I guess, technically the first heavy metal band, started out at the first record's blues. You know, it really is. It's just heavy. So it's like, you know, I just think, you know, we soak up everything we listen to from our surroundings and everywhere else. We're fans, like I say, of all kind of music, all of us. So, the mixture of all of our influences make us unique and special.
That really comes out in your music too, because you guys have a certain uniqueness that is not just cookie cutter. It's not just the same thing. Like you said, you're not trying to write the same album. And I think that really, I mean, Symmetry in Black, like I said, it was just a masterpiece of an album. I gave it very high reviews, and it was really well written, and I could tell the, you know, lyrically and stuff. I mean, it was very well thought out, and you can tell you're not just making material just for the sake of having an album come out.
No, I mean, so, you know, you hate to say it, but I mean, some bands do as they get older. They, you know, they'll put out a record as an excuse to go on tour, you know, and it's like, you know, as big a fan as I am of Kiss and actually, you know, after reading Paul Stanley's book, I have a whole new insight on why they really, you know, why they have Tommy Thayer and Eric Singer in Kiss, and I do agree with Gene and Paul that at this point they probably do belong in Kiss, even though Ace is my favorite, you know, character and member.
Yeah.
But you know, with a band like Kiss, it's like, honestly, I wish that they would quit making records, because I haven't liked the last couple of records that they've done. I mean, I understand they want to make new music, but Jesus, the guys are getting into that, you know, close to mid-60s now, and it's like, let's be honest, I mean, for the most part, the people are here to see, you know, they want to hear Detroit Rock City, Rock and Roll All Night,
yeah,
you know, fucking She, whatever, you know, God of Thunder, you know what I mean, Shout It Out Loud.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're not buying the tickets to hear, you know, the new songs shit, off the new record, and it's kind of like an excuse, like we were saying, to just, not that they're, it's not, you know, it's just my opinion, doesn't mean shit, but, you know, to me, I think they should just continue to do the classic Kiss stuff.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Don't wear out a good thing, you know.
Right. I mean, it's like, there's nothing, you know, when you put out as many albums as any of these bands, you know. I mean, the thing is, there are a lot of bands that have been around a long time that are putting out amazing records, you know, like Exodus and Testament, and,
oh yeah,
you know, a lot of bands that were very popular and kind of died down are popular again. Well, you know why? Because, I mean, this, you know, it is nostalgia to a degree, but they're also putting out records that are fucking amazing, you know. Yeah. So it's like, we want to be one of those bands, you know. We don't want to live off of anything we've done in the past. We want to continue to build the audience of Crowbar and look forward. Never. We don't have any mirrors on our fucking car. Just go. Look forward and roll. You know.
That's great. I like to hear that outlook, especially, you know, you guys. I mean, you guys have been, I said, you were pioneers for a whole genre. I mean, for a whole subgenre and everything. Let me change the subject here. A few months back, you know, I think it was shortly after Symmetry in Black was released, there was a whole, you know, big thing where, you know, you were on stage and a fan tried to run up and you kicked him in the head. And I felt like you were unfairly villainized by the media and people saying, well, he's just an asshole. But really, I think that, you know, I don't think people really remember they don't think back to Dimebag where the guy just ran on stage. I mean, as you, when that happened, I mean, is that something, this instinct where you just, you know, trying to defend yourself, or what was the whole thing behind that?
Well, I kept shut about it, you know, kept shut for a while, whatever. about the incident and just called it an unfortunate incident, and it is. But this is my perspective. We just finished playing in July the This Is Hardcore show in Philly. They don't even have monitors. The stage is this big on purpose. You know, we know it's a hardcore show. We played all of our fastest, you know, most aggressive songs. The second we hit the first note, there's 20 people on stage doing flips off the stage.
Oh,
that's
shit.
Fine, because it's that kind of show. The show we played at, and where that unfortunate incident happened, was a no stage diving, no, you know, crowd surfing. The fucking barricade was from here past that wall from the stage. So we're in an environment like a festival. Mm-hmm. When you're in a festival, people are not, you don't expect people to be on stage. And, you know, when I look back at the video, I can see the point is people, only I know what I saw and what I thought, which was when I had my eyes closed and I was singing and I got hit, and it didn't get hit hard, it didn't hurt bad, it shocked me. But when I looked down and saw that the security guy had tackled the kid, all I thought of was this kid was trying to fucking attack me or whatever.
Yeah.
And believe me, I didn't exactly strap on a fucking Tom Dempsey cleat from 1970 and kick his fucking teeth in. It was kind of like, you stupid fucking asshole. But after seeing it, I understand why people got aggravated, because they got a kid jumping up and down. A security guard came out like fucking Ray Lewis and tackled a kid.
Gosh.
And flew 10 yards into me. But I'm thinking, and keep in mind, we're playing Al Rosa Villa the next night. The next night, we're playing the place that this happened to Don.
Yeah.
So, you know, ever since that happened, and it's weird at Al Rose. I mean, we'll play it again. We played it twice, but it's a weird, creepy kind of feeling to us, you know? And, you know, we're playing that the next night. I'm not using that for an excuse. The point is, in all honesty, you know, it was not a stage diving type of show. We welcome that. A place like tonight, come on. The stage is this tall. There's no barricade. Help yourself. You know, do your best not to knock into the musicians
and
the show. Right. But, I mean, other than that, you know, whatever. But, you know, it's really, it's one of those things. It's no different, you know, when it's a show and we know it's a smaller stage, no barricade, no security type thing or whatever, then they're going to do what they want to do, and we're cool with that. But in this particular thing, it was the exact opposite of that. It was a high stage with a barricade about 5 or 6 feet away with security guys everywhere. So you don't expect it. And he wasn't supposed to be on stage, bottom line.
And
to be honest, he probably got up there, jumped up and down a little bit, and said, oh, fuck, what do I do now? If he would have dove, he would have hurt himself or somebody else really bad, because it wasn't like, he wasn't just on a stage like tonight where people can help him right back in the crowd and do that. Be fucking Greg Louganis or something, you know.
I just wanted to clear that, because I thought I had a lot of people, you know, because I just actually reviewed the album when this happened.
Yeah.
And people were saying, oh, you reviewed Crowbar, and then, you know, everybody, I feel you were unfairly villainized. I wanted to just, you know, bring it up.
People love gossip and drama.
That is true. It wouldn't be the industry if people weren't talking something about somebody.
And you know what it is everybody's very brave behind the keys of that computer.
I call it fake tough guys. That's what I said. That's what I said to Andy. I said, fake tough guys. They don't understand the shit, and they just say, well, they just run off at the mouth, because they don't. They have no. Right. Nobody's really there to you know, say, hey, you know, stand up to you or whatever. They're just behind a keyboard.
Right. I mean, I'm not sitting there acting tough. I'm just saying, you know, instead of calling me an asshole, why don't you let me explain the situation from my point of view, which I was not allowed to do.
Yeah.
Because it would have caused more shit. So I just let it fade away, and just like everything else, it does fade away, because something else happens and the news takes over. But I mean, there's certain things, you know, like Blabbermouth and a lot of these things that they thrive on all this gossip.
Yeah,
you know, and it's a lot of the people that post on there constantly are, you know, what we call them, trolls or haters. So all they do is look around and try to find something to bash some band, and I always feel like going, well, how, you know what? Hey, at least, they were terrible at their show in fucking London. Well, guess what? At least I'm playing in London. Where's your band playing?
Yeah.
Your fucking
you go,
mom's
man.
Garage?
There you go, man. You got a good outlook, I guess. I guess doing it as long as you
got. Yeah, you got to. You got to kind of just take it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, I didn't get upset. I mean, it did, you know, I tried not to get involved with it. It's one of them things. It happens, you know. I mean, the thing is, in this day and age, and with technology, what happened there has happened 1,000 times in the past.
Yeah.
Where people are on stage that didn't belong there, and whatever, got a little nudge.
Yeah.
But now, you know, you can't take a piss without a camera.
Everything's magnified. Get on fucking Twitter and Instagram. Hey, look at this.
So, I mean, it's like stuff, you know. I mean, in the old days, you know, guys used to fight. I mean, you jump on stage, you know, at a fucking Who show or something, Pete Townsend would crack you over the fucking head with his guitar.
There you go.
You know, whatever.
The good old days.
Yeah. It's like the Mike Curtis tackle on the Fan. Mike Curtis used to play for the Baltimore, when it was the Baltimore Colts. Some guys ran on the field. A guy was a linebacker for the Colts or whatever, ran out and fucking knocked the living fuck out of it. Now, that guy would get sued, fined, you know, kicked out of the NFL and everything else.
He broke his arm.
Some, you know, some fucking dude running on a field that doesn't belong there. Well, whatever.
Yep, you go, man. Let me ask you one more question before I get all your links and stuff. I want to go back to, you know, recently, you know, we had the tragic passing of Wayne Static.
Yes.
Personally, I mean, what do you remember about him, and what how did that hit you, the news that he passed? How did that news hit you?
Well, the thing is, like, it's a very, very, very few people know that Wayne Wells is his real name. Actually flew from, he was living in Chicago at the time, to New Orleans back between, like, The Obedience Who Suffering and Crowbar Records. He flew himself to New Orleans and stayed with me to try out for Crowbar.
Oh, really?
Back in, like, 92 or something, you know. Before, it was right before we got Matt Thomas in. And we never really stayed in touch that much, but, you know, I remember him moving to L.A. before he even started Static X. But, I mean, I've known him that long, you know. I actually turned him on to Slow, Deep, and Hard Type O. It was, like, my favorite record at the time. It was well before Bloody Kisses even came out, and he had never heard of him, you know. We were just sitting in the car listening. I remember doing that, you know. But I remember jamming with him, and he was a great player, really nice guy. And, you know, I was just like, I'm like, dude, the problem is you live in Chicago, you know. We definitely couldn't afford it back then to be flying him in, you know, and whatnot. I mean, we had Steve Gibb in the band for quite a while, and he's one of our closest friends. But, you know, he lived in Miami and was able to, you know, and this was much later on when we got Steve. But at the time, we were a brand new band, basically. So I told Wayne, I'm like, dude, you're a killer, you're a great guy, you know, but it's just not going to work. You know, it's not, if you lived 10 minutes from here, you'd be in. Yeah. Right. So it did, you know, it was really sad. Last time I saw him, Static X supported two shows with Down in Dublin, Ireland in like 2009, and I saw him there. And he was, you know, he was fine. It was just kind of a shock, you know. Yeah. But I mean, I've known him since, since, like I say, you know, he'd come see Crowbar when we'd be in the LA area, and, you know, and I remember when he, you know, first started wearing his hair that way and whatnot, and I've, you know, seen him on Ozfest and, you know, played shows here and there with him, festivals and stuff over the years, so it was really sad to hear about that.
Yeah, and I thought that the media jumping to the conclusions and Jacoby Shattuck saying, you know, it was his drugs. They instantly going to that.
Everybody goes.
I was trying to, you know, I was the defender there. I was like, hey, you know, media, we'll get the, you know, press release when we get it, but just stop saying it was drugs, because nobody, even the publicist, doesn't know what.
Right.
I think the thing was he died in his sleep. I think natural cause, I think of what it was. But I mean, he was kind of young, though, man. He was really young.
Right around my age, right? But I don't want to jinx myself. But no, it's one of those things. If you're an entertainer and you die, you can be even an actor, you know, actress, whatever, musician, whatever, it might be, automatically it's drugs.
Yeah, it's got to be drugs, because he plays a lot of music and, you know, has a weird haircut. And
if you're in a car wreck, automatically you're drunk. You know,
it's sad to how people jump to that conclusion. But I just want to get your take on that, because I haven't had a chance to
interview. You know, to hear about it.
I've known
Wayne, we're never close, but I've known him a long time, and, you know, I was happy for him with the success that he had with Static X, you know.
The solo project he was doing.
I was always, you know, pulling for him on the side, kind of, so to speak, because he was really a nice guy.
Had a weird kind of music. I mean, the music was really cool, because it kind of opened me up to different kind of music, you know. It's kind of mixing the back, you know, backing tracks with all that other stuff.
Right, right.
It was just really, really cool stuff they had, man. But let's go ahead and get your links. Oh, I didn't realize we've been talking this long. It's cool, man. I need to get your... let's get your links for Crowbar. Tell people where they can find you, where they can buy your music.
Mama? Oh, she's in the bathroom. Well, the Crowbar Facebook page is, I mean, that's linked up to the Twitter.
Okay.
Which I think the Twitter is at Crowbar Rules, is it?
Yeah,
at Crowbar Rules. Basically, as far as getting the record, I mean, we use go to martyrstore.org?
No, it's
.net. .net, okay. martyrstore.net. and they should have links. Or Ewan is our label, so
iTunes.
Yeah, iTunes, right.
Yeah, go check them out. Go check out this band. They've been rocking for 25 years, and great bunch of dudes. Awesome, and they've influenced me in my musical journey. Awesome. And got me into the stuff. So I appreciate your time, Kirk, man.
Thank you.
You're an idol, man. You're in the middle, man. So this has been Insanity here with the amazing Kirk from Crowbar. And until next time, rockers, keep it metal.